Hello and welcome to Sangam Lit. This is Nandini Karki, and in this episode we gather interesting elements from the life on a shore depicted in Sangam literary work Natrine 74, written by Ulochanar. Set in the Nadal landscape or the coastal regions, the poem features a love quarrel between the man and the lady. The verse speaks in the voice of the lady to a singer who has been sent as a messenger by the man, refusing him entry and rejecting his words of reconciliation. வடிக்கதிர் திரித்த வள்ஞான் பெருவளை இடிக்குரர் புணரி பௌவத்து இடுமார் நிறைய பெய்த அம்பி காளோர் சிறை அருங்கழிற்றின் பரதவர் ஒய்யும் சிறுவி ஞாளர் பெருங்கடர் சேர்ப்பனை ஏதிலாளனும் என்ப போது அவள் புதுமணர் காணல் புன்னை நுண் தாது கொண்டல் அசைவழி தூக்குதொரும் குறுகின் வெண்புறம் முசிய வார்க்கும் தென்கடல் கண்டல் வேலிய ஊர் அவன் பெண்டு என அறிந்தன்று பெயர்த்தலோ அரிதே. The poem seems an ode to Edugai or second letter rhymes, which are sprinkled generously on the lines of the verse. The rhythm opens with vadi idi and then proceeds with nirai sirai, podu pudu, and finishes with a flourish in the five-petaled poetic flower of kondal, venpuram, tenkadal, kandal and pendu. Not just rhythm, the poem holds a casket of precious words within two. First is kadir, which means a spindle, and we'll delve in depth into this shortly. Next we meet the word nyan, meaning a thread. This word is significant because it's the root word of the arai nyan kairu, referring to that thread or inner belt tied around the waist of babies in villages and sometimes used by men even till adulthood. It's this word that has morphed into the colloquial arna kairu. We also meet a word for the sea in pauvam and a word for a boat in ambi. The east wind caresses our face as we gaze at kondal that flows through the mangroves of kandal trees. Braced by the breeze, let's move into the breadth of the verse. The man and woman are living a life of wedded union, and during this time, the man takes to visiting courtesans, increasing the ire of his wife. Knowing that she's angry with him, he sends the singer as his messenger to help him reconcile with his wife. To the singer, the lady replies, "The fisher folk fill their boats with huge nets made of strong threads woven using sharp spindles to throw them into the waves of the ocean, which roar with the voice of thunder. They steer their boats with force like the way mahouts steer uncontrollable elephants. The lord of the shore comes from the village of these fisher folk, filled with the little flowered nyalal trees, and is said to have become a stranger to me. My flower-filled village by the clear waters of the sea is fenced by the kandal trees, a hamlet where the pollen of the punnai tree standing on the new sands of the shore are scattered by the kundal wind and they spread on the white backs of egrets flying by. This village knows well that she's his woman. To change this view is impossible indeed." With these words, the lady refuses to grant entry to the messenger and indirectly to the man, refusing his attempts at calming her anger. Let's plumb the depth of this poem and excavate those hidden facets. Back in Natrine 4, we wondered together about the materials used in the fishing nets from the Sangam era so that we can save the seas from the plastic pollution of today's nets. 70 poems onward, we get the answer we were seeking then. The threads of these nets seem to be woven with sharp spindles called as kadir in this poem, which is the root for the kadir or khadi material used by Mahatma Gandhi to bring his peaceful struggle for Indian independence to even the clothes one wore. Even 2000 years back, the Tamil fisher folk seem to have used such non-violent nets to fish the seas. The threads woven out of such sharp spindles are said to be strong and robust, described with the adjective vall, meaning powerful. Imagine how strong the thread should be if they are meant to brave the waves of the ocean that resound like thunder. The lady describes the boats as being filled with these nets and are steered into the seas as they rock and sway, much like the unmanageable elephants driven by the mahouts. Now, why is the lady going on about nets, boats and elephants just to describe the land of her lord? Turns out, she wraps a neat metaphor within this dense description. She hints that she's aware that the man has sent the messenger with a net of fine words to elevate him before the lady, who, according to him, seems to be giving the difficulty of those intractable elephants and rocking the boat of their marriage. By saying this, she declares that she knows fully well what the man is up to. Then comes another detailed description of the fragrant village fenced by the mangroves, where the east wind disperses the pollen from the flowers of the punnai or laurelwood tree, and this falls on the white backs of egrets flying by. With this description, she points out to the messenger that the news of the man's relationship with that courtesan has spread in the wind on the wings of rumors and gossip in the village, and that one cannot wish it away. Thus, with these exquisite descriptions of the land that bring that world before our eyes, we are also able to perceive the inner life of those men and women. An insightful poetic device to showcase the way one projects one's thoughts and desires onto the world around, which is a behavior that lives on centuries onward. Thanks for listening to this episode of Sangam Lit and journeying with me to ancient lands and minds. Please rate and review Sangam Lit on your favorite podcast app and do visit nandinikarki.com to share your thoughts. Until next time, Nandri Vanakkam.